So it's time now for the Thursday Lunchtime Social. In the studio, we have a special guest, a vision of loveliness. We have, you're probably the most attractive person in the cabinet. We have Claire Mosdell, cabinet member for Adult Social Care, Public Health. There is a bit more in there.
I'm the elected member for Arrowton New Church, which is a large rural ward. I'm the cabinet member for Adult Social Care and Public Health. And I'm also the local authority champion for mental health.
I couldn't write all that down. I just did the basics there, but that's fine. There's a lot of stuff you got to do there.
Yeah, it's a very busy role. But you know, when I stood for election, I knew my dad used to be a county councillor, so I knew what was needed of me before I actually put my head above the parapet to decide to run for election.
Okay, well, yeah. So you've been trained then, basically.
Oh, I don't know if I've been trained, but I definitely watched what my dad did years ago, and he died of lung cancer 9 years ago while being a county councillor. So I knew the work and the effort that he put into it, and that he wanted to make a difference. So I thought when I had the time, I would make sure I signed up and followed in Dad's footsteps.
Good for you. And we've also got Rob in the studio as well.
Hello.
And Rob's going to chip in every now and again. He's got some questions, and we've got some questions for you, Rob, as well. So we just want to start by saying, so you've got all that title, which is huge. What does it actually mean? What have you got to do? What's the job entail?
Being the cabinet member for Adult Social Care, I work really closely with the officers and the director of Adult Social Care. So we are driving forward change within Adult Social Care, basically to make sure that our residents of the island have a much better journey when they are getting elderly or if they have learning difficulties than they have been having in the past.
Okay, so adult social care starts when? What age?
From the age of 18. So,
oh, really? 18?
If you have learning difficulties, you come under the umbrella of adult social care. Or if you're over the age of 65, then you would come under our umbrella as well.
Okay, because there's a lot of youngsters that come in through the 4Ps. We've had, I think, over 100 students. A lot of them struggle with all sorts of things. Some people just come in and they want to learn radio. Other people have a range of everyday problems. And one of the consensus of opinion is that we get is what happens when they get to 26 or 25. It's 25, up to 25 we help. And then what happens then? And I thought it was when you're an adult, it classes from 25, but obviously it's not. It's 18, so it's an even bigger job that you've got. So what does happen to people like we've got? Youngsters that are 23, 24, and at the moment they're at college, and they do have everyday problems. What happens to them when they get to 25? Is there some kind of safety net that picks them up? Because I doubt they'll be able to go to college anymore, will they?
I think what we're doing is actually making it more... Our focus is more person-centred, so we're actually basing things on people's outcomes. So we need to ensure that we're helping people be supported out in the community, that we are ensuring that they engage. We're leading by example. So within adult social care, we've got a gentleman with autism who's come to work for us as a department. And I think as a council, we're actually one of the most active disability employers on the island.
Okay, which is great, and I know that there are a number of people that actually work here at the Riverside Centre, and it's a brilliant place. It really is. It's a real hub. Somebody said to me a little while ago, it was quite an interesting point actually, and they said that because we've got such brilliant things in place like St George's School and St Catherine's School, there's an awful lot of people that are coming across from the mainland, and then they stick around, and the numbers go up. So does it reflect when we get the funding for the Isle of Wight?
Our funding comes from the council. So for adult social care, it all comes out of my budget, from adult social care budget.
Right.
And that's why we've become outcomed and person-centred. So we can actually make sure that we are looking at each individual and that their progress is actually about the outcomes that they are achieving.
So how many people do you think you have on the island that you're currently looking after?
It depends. I wouldn't have those exact figures now because we have such a broad range of services that we provide. And we also work very closely with the CCG and health as well.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that we have probably more than our fair share of people with one or two problems because of the exceptional schools that we mentioned, St George's School, St Catherine's School? They're coming down. There's a lot of kids that have come down from the mainland, and obviously they live here, and then obviously the numbers are going up. So... Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It's not something I have the data with me to hand, and I would hate to say to you, yes, I agree, without having those figures to you. I can get that for you. I can come back and we can discuss that further.
Brilliant.
All right?
Yeah, no, that's cool. Because let's be honest, what I want, and it's, we've said this off air, what I want to, for people to know is one, who you are, what you're doing, what you're doing to, you know, because it's a huge problem. It's a huge job that you've got. And I want to ask you in a minute, you know, where are we now? Where do you want to be in 6 months' time when it comes down to the job? And more importantly, I want people to have a realization of what's being done, what you're doing to do, you know, and more importantly, there's a lot of people out there that can actually help. There's a lot of organizations that are doing stuff. You know, we're doing and playing our part, and it should be a case of, well, what else can we do to help? Because at the moment we're helping youngsters up to 25, and we want to broaden that. I mean, I really want to sign outside saying radiotherapy, because it is. It's radio with space in the middle, so it's not the other radiotherapy, because we get an array of people coming. I'm going to ask Rob what he thinks about coming into the radio and how it's changed his life, and I might bring him into it. You've got a speaking part, Rob.
Yay!
And, you know, and I say, we've got a young lady that's 72, and she comes in and does the show with me, and she used to suffer with depression. Now she doesn't, because radio's kind of, I don't know, makes her happy, and she doesn't need the tablets anymore. So it's a case of how people like us, our organisations, how we can help you in the future.
Yeah, and I think it'd be really interesting to discuss the policy that we've just launched, our Care Closer to Home strategy, to actually look at what's happening with delayed transfer of cares and what we are doing as a council with an adult social care, which is actually affecting and helping the hospital, that we as a local authority within health are actually helping that wider community. I think when people look at adult social care, I know when I was asked to be cabinet member, somebody said to me, why would I want the poison chalice? And actually that made me think the one thing I was going to do was take on adult social care, because it needed someone like me with drive and determination to make the change that was needed for our island community.
Good for you, because I think if you are one of those people that just, when somebody tells you can't do something, it just makes us fuel for the fire, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I, you say, where would we like to be in 6 months? I know within 2 years, I would like the island to be looked at as a centre of excellence for our elderly residents, for our residents with learning difficulties, for us to be an exemplar of best practice.
So how do we do that then?
We're already starting. We're already making those changes. Last year, we were probably about between 80 and 90 people a week in the hospital who had delayed transfer of care, who were sat in that hospital waiting for a package of adult social care. But we have put some really common sense, simple procedures in place, which are actually making sure that last week we had nobody in hospital waiting for a package of adult social care. We had the best figures in the whole of the country. And we don't shout about that enough.
I was just going to say that. Why aren't we shouting about it? I would be going down the comms team, and I know that there's only two or three in the comms team, and there's limited resources, there's limited resources everywhere, and it's almost like, well, hang on a minute, this is where we come in, and we've been trying to get involved and say, hey, look, whatever news you've got, give it us, because we need to shout it. We need people to know. We need people to know for many reasons, know what's actually going on, and know that, you know, help is happening. And it's happening right now.
Yeah, that is really, really important. And the changes that we need to get the message across of the changes that we're doing. So actually, people as they're getting older can feel more confident in what their care can be. You know, Care Close to Home is what it says on the tin, to enable people to stay within their homes longer and safer, and actually get rid of that social isolation. So we work with the third sector as well, very heavily with the voluntary sector. We've just won some money, 3.4 million, to actually land our Care Closer to Home policy. It's called the Improve Better Care Fund, and we're one of the few councils in the country that has had that signed off and achieved that money.
Okay. I must have missed that press release, but hopefully it will come to me at some point. Because we do, we want to shout that good news. We want people to know that, you know, things are happening, things are changing, and you can start feeling comfortable.
Well, let's say you heard it first.
All right, okay.
Groundbreaking for Vectors Radio.
All right, we did promise you a speaking part there, Rob. We just want to say to you that, you know, you're 22?
21.
22 soon?
Yeah, February. Okay.
and you've been coming in part of the four-piece course, and then you've just joined the team. Has it done anything for you? Has it worked for you at all?
It has.
It's given you a cough.
Yeah, it's given me a cough.
A really bad cough.
It's helped me a lot because it's a break to my normal life, because I'm set myself up for a routine every day of my life. So coming down here has helped me a lot because I'm more open with myself as well and with other people.
Okay.
I can talk for England, and many people can tell you that. But coming down here is a break in my life, which I really like. So what, it's helped me.
I know you don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, yeah. but I knew you have everyday issues, everyday problems yourself, and it's made a difference to you.
Yeah.
It has.
Yeah, because I see my, well, silliness as to help other people as well.
Okay.
Because I don't mind what people think of me, because I'm me.
Right, fair enough. And good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's really opened my eyes. I mean, I used to go to work, do a show, come home, not really see, not really do, not really... And it's just made me realise over the last sort of 7 or 8 years, there's an awful lot of people on the Isle of Wight that are struggling with all sorts of different things. And I think if we were all a little bit more aware, not just only, you know, a little bit more aware of the problems they have and if we can help, but also aware of where to go to get help. Because that's a lot of it as well. It's where to go. Big signpost. Where do we go? I think I may have problems. Where do I go? And that's a lot of the issues for some people. So how do we make them more aware? I think we have to involve the media, don't we? Surely.
Yeah, I definitely agree. With the delayed transfer of care and the figures, we are actually in the middle of doing, actually releasing that press release. So it is a case of you heard that first, because it is coming out and we'll be with everybody right. next week. I think, you know, some of the important things that we need to do is that signposting. You know, I am part of a committee that is looking to actually move the voluntary sector and the information and guidance that the council can give in a more user-friendly way, and actually ensure that everybody knows the right services to go at the right time. But it is with everything, isn't it? You know, especially with people who social isolation and changing from the norm and breaking cycles is something we are all aware of. And, you know, that is just basic common sense, isn't it?
It is. We'll talk about signposting in a minute, but you just mentioned there's social isolation. I would imagine that's a major problem on the island.
It is. It is a major problem, and that's why we work really closely with the voluntary sector. I'm a very hands-on councillor. I've got a bit of a reputation for, actually, when I signed up to be a councillor, saying I'm going to go and visit everywhere. So there probably isn't a home for people with learning difficulties. There is a few places I haven't got to yet, but nursing homes, etc. I'm going out and having a look for myself and what actually happens to our residents. You know, it is very easy for a councillor, especially a cabinet member, to sit in, you know, our rooms are at the top of County Hall, and actually not go out and actually see what real issues are. You know, the other week I was with Jamie over at the Salvation Army to see how we were going to put into place how we were going to deal with homelessness this winter. That hands-on approach is really important.
You mentioned homelessness. I mean, you know, sad to say that the previous MP, I think the new MP is making such a difference, there's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of positive sounds, and obviously at some point they'll come to fruition. But our previous MP didn't acknowledge we had homelessness. It wasn't a problem on the island because most people had a home, which obviously you've touched on there, and that obviously isn't true, because there are a number. I don't think there's a huge amount, but there are too many.
I'm not quite sure what the question is. I can agree, yes.
Yeah, you know, there is homelessness.
We definitely have homelessness. Yeah. We definitely have homelessness. But what we need to do when we're dealing with people who are homeless is to actually understand that they have issues that we need to engage with, that we can't just say to someone, OK, here's a roof for the night. We actually need to make sure that we've put into place that they're being this signposting again, that, you know, part of the offer the Salvation Army are doing is making sure that they look to help people with any mental health issues that they have, that they can work on a path to actually feel more fulfilled, look at the issues that they have that may have created their homelessness in the first place, but to make sure that there is an end outcome for them.
Now, Paul Braden came in about a month ago, and I sort of said to him, I said, have we got in schools, I know it's slightly different, but it's, you know, have we got everything in place that should be in place, or is now a perfect opportunity to chuck it up in the air and start again? Is that something that have we got? What we've got on the island, the skeleton, the current structure, is that in place, and it's the best it can be, or is there something we can change to make it better?
I think we've made a point already that we are making huge change within adult social care, within the council, that we need to make that change to ensure that we are future-proof.
Okay, so what are those changes? Just remind us what they are.
So, as you imagine, with my huge job title that I have, there's loads of different areas, you know, within public health and with adult social care and within mental health that, you know, we are making those changes. But I think our care close to home is the one that's really landed at the moment and is already making those change. And making those changes and getting positive outcomes is the way that we need to go forward, that we can say, look, we're going to think outside the box. We are going to do something very different. We are really lucky on this island. We have a majority in council, which means that we can make decisions. We have an MP who works really closely with us. And we actually have some really good directors within the local authority and really good officers. And I think that working together and that unity will make the change that we need.
Okay. So it's a work in progress. And we're hoping. How long do you hope to be in the job for?
Well, hopefully I will get re-elected in 3.5 years' time. So that's whether my partner says I can stand for election again, because he probably didn't realise it was probably going to be 60 to 70 hours a week. I was going to practically move into County Hall. But, yeah, no, I hope to get re-elected again.
Like he wears the trousers in your house.
I think he's listening, so I'll say, yes, he does. Of course he does. Of course he does.
Of course you do, dear, yeah. if you could have picked a job, was this the one? Was this the cabinet job that you wanted?
I hadn't really thought I was going to go onto the cabinet. I literally was very surprised when I got asked. I had put a lot of work in for running for election, so I decided a couple of years ago that I wanted to run for election. I went and watched all full council meetings, I went and watched scrutiny, I went and sat as a member of the general public on both the parish councils in my ward. So I did put a lot of work into it, so that if I did get elected, I felt I had a duty to my residents to hit the ground running, and that's what I did basically. And I was asked to be a cabinet member, which is not something that very often happens to newly elected councillors. And then I was asked if I would take on adult social care, and it literally, I spent a weekend thinking about it. I couldn't just step into something without actually give it careful consideration. I spoke to friends who are GPs, I spoke to friends who are carers, I read the Care Act, which is 314 pages of tediousness.
Oh,
I went back and read the last 4 years of executive reports on adult social care. Still wasn't quite sure if I was up to the challenge, but then the comment was made about the poison chalice, and that's what made me make my decision that actually I was going to do it, and I was going to put 100% effort into it, and hopefully that 100% effort is showing.
Well, it's nice to know that you're actually going out and visiting places, because you know you need to visit these places, otherwise how do you know? You need to go in and into old people's homes and so on and so forth, and you need to see the struggle that they've got, the staff and so on, and how can we make it better. You can't do that from behind a desk somewhere else, and that's what I'm hearing about you. I've got to say this. I've always been sort of politically minded to a point, and now I've worked out that, you know, I'm not really a fan of any of the parties anymore. What I am a fan of is there are good politicians that come in and want to do and make things better, and it doesn't matter what colour that shirt, it doesn't matter. If they're a good politician and they care and they want to come in and do, that's brilliant. And there's also politicians, again, equally, you know, whatever shirt they're wearing, they'll just come in, take the salary and the status that goes with it. And from what I'm hearing from you, which is a good vibe, you're actually getting out there and doing something, and you've taken the job on, seriously, read 316 pages of... Well, for me, that would be absolute boredom, and I'm sorry if that insults anybody, but it would be. And then you're actually going out to visit these places where people are, you know, struggling, And I think I'd do my head in after the first day, but that's your job. And you know, what was your background before? What did you do before that?
My background before, so my partner and I run an electrical contracting business.
Okay.
So I do all the paperwork side because he's very hands-on and works, well, he's known as 24/7 because he works really hard. And I do all the background paperwork side and run sort of the business end of our company.
So that's totally different to what you're doing then.
Actually, I think it's really important that elected councillors have those business skills, especially what's happening, you know, with the lack of revenue support grants and things like that, that we can go into the council, into County Hall, and actually say, well, let's look at this as a business. And I think as well, you also have to have that empathy level so that you can think, well, we're going to run it as a business, but this is people's lives we're dealing with.
Okay. How do you feel when, and this is a political question, sorry.
I'm a politician.
Well, how do you feel that, you know, or let's ask the first question first. Are we getting enough help and support financially from central government?
I think the simple answer to that is no, we're not. But I don't have that magic wand. I don't know where the answer is to where the pot of gold is at the end. You know, we understand that this is a position, you can see me thinking about it.
Sure.
Yeah. I would like us to be granted more money. I would like our revenue support grant to be. I understand that it can't be because the country's economics as a whole, the position that it's in. I have been fortunate that I've been sent up on the local government leadership training up in Warwick. And that was really interesting because half the room were Labour councillors, Labour leaders, so deputy leader of Bradford Council, and then half of them were Conservative. And we had a really open conversation, and actually most people agreed that there was lots of stuff within council that needed change. I think that we have got to the point that we are getting to the end of the change that we can make, and we need to actually look at actually creating our own revenue. I think that would be the way forward. So, but the political question is quite, there were Labour councillors who thought exactly the same as myself.
Okay, I mean, that's a good answer, by the way. Applaud that. But when it comes down to it, you would like more finances to resolve the issues that we have, because at the moment we haven't got the resources, we haven't got the funds to do it. Whether that's a it doesn't matter whether it's a Tory problem or whether that's a Labour problem. It's not. It's a money problem. It's a financial problem. Do we have the funds? No, we don't. Not at the moment, but we're working on it.
You're answering your own questions.
Well, I'm getting round to, you know, because the next question is, what are we going to do about it? Are they aware up there in central government, whatever shirts they're wearing, are they aware of the problems, the issues that we have? You know, because we do have them, and what we don't want to do is shoot ourselves in the foot and highlight negatives and so on. But there's a lot of positive things about living on the Isle of Wight, and there's a lot of positive things going to happen. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that are actually struggling massively, you know, people that have, you know, day-to-day issues and so on and so forth, and there isn't enough funds for them at the moment. Are they aware? Do they visit? When was the last time we had someone, just say, for instance, someone, you know, the person that you would go and talk to, central government, to make them aware of the issues? When was the last time you visited the island? Because I'd be thinking, hey, look, I do a blooming good job. I want them to see how hard I work. And I also, more importantly, want to see them. They want to come down and say, look, these are the issues that we have. How can you help?
The last time somebody came was during the election and Sajid Javid came. But I think the important point to make is I am part of the Conservative Councillors Association, and when I was running for election, they do a lot to help you with your development. So I went on a development weekend up in Nottingham. Sajid Javid was there, Marcus Jones were there, and we were able to sit in front of those people and ask those very direct questions. I was there with another candidate when we actually made sure we sat for an hour on the front row, did not move, so we could actually ask Sajid Javid that question and say, do you understand that the Isle of Wight is different. We have different needs here. And actually, he was very positive in his response. And it is that communication. As a Conservative council, we have a very direct line through Bob Seeley, and also by going to different conferences, etc., that we can discuss those people in Cabinet and their undersecretaries who understand and make sure we keep pushing the issues of the Isle of Wight.
Okay, I know that he came down earlier this year, and I know he visited. What did he actually visit places that you visit to see it firsthand, or was it just a chat?
I think at that time it was running for election. I think it's more important that we actually have people like myself who are really strong councillors who can go and visit and pass that message on. You know, sure. I'm actually going with Councillor Brading in 2 weeks' time to a development weekend, which Marcus Jones will be at, that Sajid Javid will be at. So once again, we will be in the same room to have that conversation. And as you can imagine, I'm quite strong in putting my point across.
Good. Good for you. And it would just be nice, because sometimes people need to see someone getting, you know, locally we see you getting from out behind your desk and going out and meeting the people and getting your hands dirty, rolling your sleeves up. And sometimes it just would be nice if we had that in central government too, coming down to the Isle of Wight and having a really good look and having a good look around, rather than, you know, going to Nottingham, forgive me, but going to Nottingham, having a little chat, but not really knowing what it's like down here because I haven't seen it. Come down and see it with your own eyes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But you know, at the end of the day, we have to look. You know, these people are cabinet members for the whole of the UK.
Sure.
That we can ask them when we can keep asking them. And I'm sure they will come down and visit. But then I'm the cabinet member for adult social care. And Paul Rayling's the cabinet member for education. Wayne Whittle's the cabinet member, you know, that takes into tourism. There are so many parts of this island that we need to get that message across. You know, Claire Mosdale, Councillor Mosdale, can't put her head up and just say, come to the island and come and see some of my LD homes. You know, come and visit a nursing home. I need to actually make sure that we are getting the right points across, which us as an island as a whole need that help and assistance.
I think you're totally right, and all I will say to that is if the tourism on the Isle of Wight is so fantastic, which it is, it would be nice if they visited now and again to say how brilliant it was, because that would be another endorsement, wouldn't it?
I shall make sure that I get that message via Bob Seeley. I'm good. Sure his assistant is listening at the moment.
Good.
So I will make sure we get that message across. Okay. From yourselves.
Is that too tough? Is that too hard? Because let's be honest, people out there from the Isle of Wight will be asking that same thing, and it will be just nice to know that, hey, look, yeah, they do care about us. They are coming down. They are aware of the issue. They are aware of the problems that we have. And obviously, they're also aware of the positives that we have. And it would be great if they went back and said, hey, look, we visited the Isle of Wight, and it's brilliant. We love it down there. And, you know, there are one or two things that we're working on. Fantastic. I mean, everyone would be looking at that thinking, well, that's a real shot in the arm, because, you know, they care. And they're coming down and seeing it for themselves. Rather than going to Nottingham and sitting in a room far, far away from the Isle of Wight. Why Nottingham? For goodness sake, why not the Isle of Wight?
Because it's a councillors' association from across the whole country. But I will put the point that actually we could host that event.
Why not?
We could. You know, not a problem at all. And I will make sure that I'm there banging the door. But I think we need to understand that as a cabinet, for the 10 members of the cabinet, part of our role is to ensure that we are giving that message via Bob back up to government.
Okay. Okay, you made your point. I've made mine. And hopefully one day...
I think we're equal, aren't we?
Well, yeah, we're there. I think yeah, see, this is what it's all about. It's all about talking, it's all about communicating, it's all about understanding everybody. And, you know, the minute we talk, the minute we stop talking, we don't understand anymore. We don't listen, we don't want to hear.
I think that's the most important part, actually, is not the talking, but the listening. To the listen and to look and actually to understand what individual residents' issues are.
Okay. What sort of, you know, because we look at the Isle of Wight and we think, what's the average age? I think the average age is over 50, isn't it? Is that the main issue that we've got, is that we're an ageing population, or is, you know, there are, I'm guessing it's majorly, if you're over 50, that's where the issues are going to be, but my eyes have been open recently. I've seen a lot of youngsters that are struggling too. But where are the major problems?
I think there's two different answers. I could say, yes, you know, we have issues with an adult social care, we have issues with, you know, people, the younger generation leaving the island and not coming back. But I think the important thing is actually looking at individual people's issues. So if you had 10 people in the room of different generations, their issues actually would initially be quite different. But when you actually have that open discussion, you'll find, you know, most people's issues will come down to the same thing. They will come down to their finances, they will come down to their health and well-being, and that's a whole island issue. So we have to look at the individual people, and then we have to work as what we can address as a whole.
Is that the main problem, do you think, finances?
I'm not sure, actually. We could always do with more money. You know, yeah. I could not sit here and say that, you know, we don't want any more money, because of course we do. You know, we could do amazing things with more money. I think that actually looking at how we can run things with a more business-like approach is one of the important ways that we can move things forward.
Okay. Now, I don't know whether you want to chip in.
I've been trying to.
Sorry, you should have said.
I can't interrupt people. But very quickly, well, before we get too far away from the my subject, how do you actually help people? I know that sounds... not policies, procedures do you have in place to help people of, like, 18 and above?
It depends what... If they have issues with learning difficulties, etc., then what we are doing is ensuring that we help people to become engaged with more supported living that is more outcome-based. So we work really closely with the voluntary sector. We work really closely with actually, we will look at someone's individual circumstances, which is the first time in quite a long time that we've actually said, okay, we need to actually treat people. And it goes back to the initial My Life for Full Life, that the whole model of My Life for Full Life was about that centre of care, that it became person-centred, and that's the way that we are moving forward.
Does that answer your question there, Rob?
Yeah.
You're right now?
Yeah.
You shut up now for 5 minutes? Or you got some more? Nobody joking. You got any more questions?
So, for instance, I'm not going to mention it. My friend, who now has a job, but he had terribly crippling anxiety, and he couldn't buy anything in any shops. He had to ask me if I could go down to the shops to buy him some stuff. He wouldn't get the bus by himself. And... how would you, Semi, help him to become more...
Right, okay. So part of my cabinet role is public health, and we have introduced local area coordinators. They are doing an excellent job. They will actually work with people to do the simple things, to actually say, you want to go to the anxiety cafe? I'll come with you. That's what a local area coordinator will do. Right. They work on a very one-to-one basis, and... if they have people have a problem going shopping, they'd actually do that. Do those initial steps, those difficult things that people can find, just sometimes the simplest things. The local area coordinators, who are doing a fantastic job, will help people.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break in a minute, and we're going to come back. We're going to follow on from what you've just said there about outcomes, because we've got a few outcomes that we're quite proud of here at Vectis, because, you know, I'll tell you the story in a moment. But we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and you can have a slurp of water then if you want.
Thank you.
All right. And we will be back in two ticks.
This show is sponsored by God's Providence House. Find us in St Thomas Square, Newport, for great homemade meals, cream teas and cakes. They're open from 9 till 5 all the year round. Find us on Facebook or call us on 522-085.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. For the people, by the people.
Reading Roman Villa, more than just an award-winning museum. The eco-friendly building provides free access to a cafe that has stunning views of the whole of Sandown Bay, acres of free parking and plenty of space for children to play safely in the tranquil setting that's hardly changed since the Romans lived here. Come and try Ben's lunches and Nikki's cakes, all homemade and delicious. The friends of Brading Roman Villa provide visitors with a free introduction to the villa's history and delight in answering people's questions. Brading Roman Villa open every day, 10 till 4. Come and treat yourself anytime.
Livewire Electric Shop, for all your domestic appliance needs. appliance sales, repairs, spare parts and TVs. There are 5 and 7 year warranties available on selected brands. Find us in Orchard Street, Newport, or call us on 01983 522 420. Livewire, your one-stop appliance shop.
Hi, this is Nick from Church of Eel. We sponsor the 4PS Training School, which allows young people to increase their confidence and communication while working in a radio environment. Church of Eon know the importance of these skills, so check us out at churchofeon.com.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mixed concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless of course you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
Wonderful weekend fun for the whole family. Saturday, 2nd December, St. Helens Primary School Annual Christmas Fair. Santa's Grotto, Teddy and Chocolate Tombola, beautiful crafts and gifts, 20p games for children, Toddler's Corner from Montessori, and a mince pie eating competition. If that's not enough, we have a grand raffle with amazing prizes up for grabs. £200 beauty voucher from Naturally Calm Therapies, speedboat ride, and a luxury hamper amongst others. Don't miss it. Saturday, 2nd December from 11 till 2, St. Helens Primary School.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
This show is sponsored by God's Providence House. Find us in St Thomas Square, Newport for great homemade meals, cream teas and cakes. They're open from 9 till 5 all the year round. Find us on Facebook or call us on 522 085.
Now, if I'd have thought about that, we could have got them to send some cakes round. That would have been really, really good, wouldn't it?
That would be really useful.
All right, just move yourself a little bit closer. You've relaxed now, haven't you? This is good, because we should point out, you've never done anything like this before.
No, not ever.
Not ever. No radio at all.
No.
Well, it's nice that you've come in, and it's and I know that there was a time, you know, at County Hall that they would not allow people to come in by themselves. They'd have to have someone with them just in case they make a faux pas. Oh, you know, we're not going to do that. What we want at the end of this is people go away and they think, okay, we now have more of an understanding of what you do, how big the job is, and hopefully, you know, people might even be able to chip in with some help. Talking of which, I mean, we've been, the four pieces have been going now for, and one of the first people on was a guy called Robert Clark. Now, he had problems with speech and language. He used to go to St Catharines, moved to the island from Coventry. He came to us. He went through the four-piece course. He then got involved in his own show. He sits here now and does his own show from this side. He will work the desk, everything. And I say, why shouldn't you? You know, we've opened the doors, and that's what we want to do. We want to get more and more people in, all abilities and so on. He's now got so much confidence in him, and he's now got himself a job at ASDA, and you just think, okay, because of, you know, our organization and others too, he's now gone through, come out the other side, got himself a job, and he's going in the right direction. There are so many other people that we want to help. So, you know, if we get help from you guys, then we can help so many more people, and that's going to alleviate the problem. There are so many other, there's not just us, there's loads of organizations out there. You probably have a more of an understanding of how many organisations we have on the Isle of Wight that are supporting people. You must have a rough idea. But here's a question for you. When did you first find out about us?
When I first find out about you, actually through my friend Kevin Daniels on his Facebook site, because he was always liking you.
Kevin Daniels. Hang on. Kevin Daniels is... Oh, yeah, Kevin Daniels. He used to, he went to Spain.
He's back
Spain?
Now.
He's back now,
running an estate agent on the island, yes.
Oh, crikey, I haven't seen him for years. But,
so he was always liking your Facebook stuff. So, yeah, so obviously your Facebook profile works.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I very rarely go on it these days. It's just to promote what we do here. And I say, there's other organisations as well. So you're obviously working closely with them. Because you need them, don't you?
we need the voluntary sector. You know, that's one of the things we've done with our Care Closer Home policy, that actually we're working so closely with the voluntary sector that we're putting 800,000 in their direction to actually ensure that people were staying with, you know, within their own homes, they're combating social isolations. And one of the most amazing people that I've been out with recently is a lady called Lizzie, who works for Carers Isle of Wight, and actually going with her on her visits where she supports carers, that it's not about the person who is actually has the illness or the problem, it's actually Carers Isle of Wight supporting those carers. You know, the carers on the island just do the most fantastic job in the most difficult circumstances sometimes. You know, things that are saving us, you know, and not just as a local authority but within health, a huge amount of money. I recently went to Adult Social Care Conference and a couple of the speakers there were from Carers UK, and incredibly, just to sit there and listen to what people do 24 hours a day makes you feel quite humble.
Yeah, it does. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of that feeling going around here in the last couple of years. And, you know, while you're in here, we are going to blow our trumpet a little bit. There's a young man that's in the news this week, Matthew Davis. Well, he's in the news last week, actually. Matthew Davis is 23 years old. He used to come in. He's one of the originals on the four-piece course. And he's come in. He's got cerebral palsy, built up his confidence, his communication skills. And this week he won a swimming award. I think it was something like the best disabled swimmer award in the UK, which is a fantastic achievement. And you think, so why aren't we shouting again? Why aren't we shouting about this? And I say, sorry, shame on you, the rest of the media that don't really make a big thing about it. And your council leader, your boss man, that was in a couple of weeks ago saying we do ourselves down too much, and he's absolutely right with that. We don't shout about the positives enough. We're very quick to jump on the negatives and highlight those until people get bored of it. But I think we don't do so. Is there a campaign to, you know, have some positive stuff come out and have it on a regular basis rather than sit on it?
Do you know, that's funny you said that. It's actually been said to the officers within the council that actually they need to do a positive news story a week, that they need to start producing that and taking it to the media team so we can bring it out to yourselves. Because I think that's really important for residents, that they have that positive message. You know, we can live in this society of doom and gloom, but it doesn't make us feel better. It doesn't make us want to engage with the council, etc., if we just think we're going to get knockbacks. I know myself, one of the most wonderful things that has happened since I've been cabinet member is I went and looked around a home for people with learning difficulties, and it was on the day that a young man was going to move out, and he was going to move out from that residential home into supported living. I saw him again 3 weeks later at Shanklin Theatre on the night of the Abu tribute, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, I know you, and we danced in the aisles, and he had the biggest grin all over his face. It was just so lovely to see that he was there. He was actually part of the community. He was no longer in that residential home, and the outcomes that he wanted to achieve, actually for him to be dancing in the aisles at ABBA and singing loudly, was huge. And that was a huge achievement when you followed where he had been a few years before.
That's a lovely story. Again, you know, that's the first time I've heard it. We should be out there. We should be shouting about it. We should be, you know, shouting about the positives. We've had a young man in here, really first turned up. I think he was 19, 20 years of age. He turned up and he looked like someone out of Doctor Who. Not one of the monsters, but he actually looked like Doctor Who. He had the spinny, the bow tie. He had the long coat swept overhead. I think he even had a long scarf, just like Tom Baker did all those years ago. And as we got to know him, we realised that he had, one or two issues, one or two problems, and one of them was obviously quite clearly he was depressed, and he would go home. We got out of him one day. He would go home. His bedroom was completely painted black, and he would stay there for most of the week, and then he would come to us once a week. So we sort of said to him, "Why don't you come in twice a week? At least get you out of the house." And then he was only supposed to do a 10-week course. He was here for 26 weeks because we didn't have the heart to sort of say, look, it's finished now. And I didn't want him to go back to his blackened bedroom. And we made some kind of connection with him. We got him. We brought. We managed to bring him out of himself. He now works for his granddad. And his granddad actually said to us, he actually wrote us a nice little letter saying, "I own a factory, but I was never going to give him a job until he could actually do the job and actually turn up on time. And now he does. He works 3 days in this factory, so he's turned his life around." And you think, how wonderful is that? And again, these stories, we need to hear these stories. They need to be out there. They need to be the positiveness that we need, because there's too much negative.
I completely agree, but doesn't it show that what you have done was just by that simple gesture of listening, of actually understanding what was happening to him? That's one of the things within the mental health challenge, is actually, I would love it within the council that people talk to their colleagues, that the stigma of mental health is taken away, that somebody actually could say, do you know what, I am suffering from anxiety, but thank you for allowing me to have that open and honest discussion. You know, I pride myself that I'm the councillor that, you know, within the Business Hub and Democratic Services, that I know their children's names. You know, I know whose people's husbands are. You know, that's really important, that as a counsellor, especially when you've taken on the mental health challenge, that you can just show that just simple gestures can make a huge difference to people.
Do you know, you mentioned, I mean, I don't like the word mental, and I still believe that, and I feel very strongly about this. We had a young lady that's been into the station a couple of times, and she sort of said she's actually been going through the mental health system for a number of years. She's been diagnosed with the X, Y, and Z. And I said to her about, would it be nicer if we just had a nicer label rather than mental? Because does that put people off? Yeah, of course it puts people off. You think, I'm going to go and see the doctor about my mental health. I just think if we had a nicer label, or a better label that just said mind health, you know, something like that, it wouldn't stop people from then coming out and saying, hey, look, I'm struggling with my mind here, can you help me, rather than, you know, use that the mental word. I detest it, really do.
I can see where you're coming from, but I
knew there was going to be a but.
There was going to be a but. You know, you'd hate for me just to agree with you, wouldn't you?
No.
I heard somebody speak recently at the Adult Social Care Conference who had quite severe disabilities, and he said something quite profound. Labels are for tins. Whatever you change the label to, my issues will still be the same. They'll still be needing dealt with. I don't want anything to be rebranded. I want you to deal with my actual issues. So I will come back to labels are for tins.
Okay, but I'm not a tin, and neither are you, and neither is that person.
Exactly. You know, so, yeah. So whatever we can spend ages saying we don't like the name of mental health. You know, it's like, do we call people service users? Do we call people clients? What we need to do is get past all of that and actually be able to have that open and honest discussion and say, do you know, I don't feel good today. I don't feel like going outdoors. To actually not spend so much time worrying about the labels, how we're calling things, and actually be able to say, I have a problem. How are we going to deal with it?
Okay, are we there yet with that?
I would love to be able to wave a magic wand and sit here and say, yes, of course we are. But, you know, we are on a journey. We are on a journey of change. We are on a journey as a council of working across party. I work with some fantastic other councillors to actually say, we realise that change needs to happen. What we would like to do is for people on the mainland to be able to look at us and think, the Isle of Wight Council are doing fantastic things for their residents. And actually, what has happened with those delayed transfer of cares figures is people are coming down and wanting to speak to us about the changes that we are making. The stuff that Age UK are making, you know, with our age-friendly island, it comes back to it, doesn't it, that we don't shout about our positive messages enough. We're not there yet. We will never, ever completely have the right answers for everything, but what we can do is be brave and bold and work to drive change forward.
Okay, I'm liking what I'm hearing. It is a positive message. I'm feeling very comfortable. I'm feeling very comfortable that people are now sort of listening, looking after our future. And I'm not saying that they didn't look after our future before you took over. I think there was, there were changes in schools and other things as well. And I don't want this to become like a political, and I don't want you to think that I'm a conservative in any way, because that will hurt my mum's feelings. But I'm liking the fact that there's a positive message here and people are working together. And I'm looking at, you know, the youngster that was sat there just now, he's had to just nip to the loo. And, you know, knowing full well that what's going to happen to Rob in future? Well, there's something in place. There's something in place for Rob. There's something in place for others alike and others that are really, really struggling. I need to say that there's some youngsters that come in on a Tuesday. And there's one young lady, and she said to us last year, she's 23 years old. She fell out of a window when she was two. So she's a bit wobbly on her feet, and her speech, she struggles with the speech as well. And she asked a question, and she said, all I want is a job. That's all she wants is a job. And we tried to get her a job, but no one really came forward. And you just think, well, she comes in, she does the show with me on a Tuesday, every other Tuesday, and she's fun. She's a really likable person. She pushed our button when we went FM because I couldn't think of anybody else that was more worthy of doing it. And you just think, what a cracking person. And there's a lot of cracking people out there that, you know, unfortunately, yes, they are slightly different to you and me, but underneath it all, they're not. They're just exactly the same. It's just that, you know, we have this opinion, we look at them and we judge them, and maybe we shouldn't. Not maybe, we shouldn't judge them at all. But she asked the question, what's going to happen to me? What is going to happen to me at some point? Am I going to get a job? Am I going to have a family? Am I, you know, I didn't know the answers. But there's more people like that on the island that need support and need some reassurance. And you do ask, what's going to happen to her?
I think that's really important. And I think one of the things I need to go back to is actually, as part of our health and wellbeing board, which I sit on, we had a workshop. And basically what came out of that workshop is there's two pockets of real deprivation on the island. So we decided within the health and wellbeing board that we would look to actually focus on an area of deprivation. And so the best person to ask to look at that was Councillor Brodie. You know, I'm sure people would be amazed that I've said to a Labour councillor, and I'm a Conservative councillor, can you work on this, please? But actually, he was the right person to bring together the team to actually work on that area of deprivation and look how we could do positive change within the Health and Wellbeing Board. I have to say I have a huge respect for Councillor Brodie as well, and he's really going to work as an excellent chair of that subgroup.
Excellent, because he just comes across sometimes in the media again as being this troublemaker and so on. But at the same time, I always think that, well, hang on a minute, he's passionate about what he believes in.
And isn't that important? You know, as county councillors, we have to understand that our other county councillors, whatever colour they have signed up to, have actually done the same thing as me, that said, you know, I want to make a difference. So you need to work with everybody. You know, we're not all going to agree in full council. You know, I probably have a very different opinion from everybody, but from other people. But at the end of the day, we're human.
Okay, look, we've run out of time. We've got about 2 minutes. You're
Sorry
absolutely
about
right.
That.
You're human. I want to ask you, what's the one thing that you really want to change in the future?
What I want to change in the future, I would love to ensure that people with dementia, etc., can stay within their home longer, that they get the right care, that they don't have the social isolation. And actually, we work more as a community, so neighbours can actually help and speak to their family, speak to their friends, and actually make sure that we become a more caring community.
Okay, look, I was going to ask you another question, but I think we'll leave it there. That's a good positive to end on. But we mentioned signposts earlier on about people that might want help, assistance and that sort of thing. How do they get that help? You know, where, just say, for instance, if I suddenly develop an issue, a problem, where do I go to? I'm guessing you're going to say doctor first of all, but where do we go? Where's the signpost for me?
I think what's going to happen in the future, and very quickly, we're having our integrated locality services, so we're actually bringing more services out to the communities. So we're working with care navigators, with local area coordinators, so we're actually doing a more community focus to get the message. And what we're looking to do is bring services within our information guidance services within County Hall, so people can actually walk through the door and actually think, we can we can have our CIB help, we can have Age UK help, we know where to go with our debt problems, we know where to go if we need to have a carer to help us. I think it's important that we actually work together on that.
Okay, brilliant. Look, we filled an hour, it's just gone by, it's an absolute breeze. It's knowing that someone like you is out there, you know, doing it, going into places, having a good look around, talking to people, you know, as we mentioned earlier on, there's good politicians, there's bad ones. You seem like to me like a good one that's going to, you know, put themselves out and put the community first. So long may it continue. Nice to have met you, and hopefully you'll come back at some point.
Of course I will. I'd like to come back and give you more positive stuff that's happening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.